Chapter 16. Bobby becomes a lawyer.
It's extremely annoying, Frankie said, to have to go up to London today, but the letter that Hawkins brought from Father yesterday says I must.
But, said Roger, who had come out to say goodbye to her as she left Merriway Court, you'll be coming back this evening, won't you? He took her hand and held it between his hands. You are coming back, he said with strange firmness. Frankie laughed.
Of course I am.
Bobby, who was holding the car door open for her to get into the front passenger seat, touched his cap respectfully, then got in himself and drove off.
Frankie, he said, I found the girl who was in the photograph I found in the dead man's pocket.
Oh, Bobby, where?
In Dr. Nicholson's nursing home.
Bobby described what had happened the night before.
Then we are on the right track, Frankie said. And Dr. Nicholson is mixed up in all this. I'm afraid of that man.
What's he like?
Oh, big, and he has a powerful personality. And he watched me so closely that I felt he knew the truth about me.
She described the dinner party and Dr. Nicholson's questions about her accident.
I think he was suspicious, she finished.
It's certainly strange that he went into details like that. But have you any idea now what's going on, Frankie?
Well, I think that Dr. Nicholson's nursing home would be a very good cover-up for illegal drug dealing. He might be pretending to cure drug addicts when he's really supplying them with the stuff.
That's possible, agreed Bobby.
And I haven't told you yet about Henry Bassington French, said Frankie.
Bobby listened to her description of Henry's strange behaviour.
And what about Roger Bassington French? He asked.
There, I'm puzzled, said Frankie. I have a strange feeling that he's innocent.
No, said Bobby, he can't be. No one else could have exchanged the photographs.
I know, said Frankie, but perhaps there's an innocent explanation.
I don't see that there can be. If we only had some idea who the dead man really was.
Oh, but I have, Bobby. I'm almost sure he was a man called Alan Carstairs.
Once more, she told him everything she'd found out.
You know, said Bobby, we really are learning things. Now, we'll assume that you are right about Alan Carstairs. From what you say, he's lived abroad most of his adult life. He had very few friends in England, and if he disappeared, he wasn't likely to be missed. So, Carstairs comes down to Staveley with the Rivingtons. Now, did he get them to bring him deliberately, or was it just chance? And did he then come across the girl by accident just as I did? But he must have known her, or he wouldn't have had her photograph on him.
Or, said Frankie thoughtfully, he was already on the track of Nicholson and his gang for some reason.
And used the Rivingtons to get to Staveley.
That's a possible theory, said Frankie.
Or he may have been on the track of the girl, said Bobby. Maybe he knew her. She may have been kidnapped, and he came to England to find her.
But if he had tracked her down to Staveley, why would he go off to Wales? Asked Frankie.
Obviously, there's a lot we don't know yet, said Bobby.
Evans, for example, said Frankie thoughtfully. We don't have any clues yet about Evans, so that part of it must be connected with Wales.
Frankie suddenly realised where they were.
Bobby, we've reached London. Where are we going, and what are we doing here?
That's for you to say, said Bobby. I don't even know why we've come up to town.
The journey to London was only an excuse so that I could talk with you privately. I couldn't risk being seen walking about at Staveley talking to my chauffeur. I used the letter that we pretended had come from Father as an excuse for driving up to town. Well, I think we'd better go to my house in Brook Street.
Your garage may be watched. Bobby, who lived in some rooms over the garage, agreed. At Brook Street, they went upstairs to the big drawing room.
There's one other thing, said Frankie. On the day you were poisoned, Roger Bassington French was at Staveley. But according to him, Nicholson was away at a conference in London.
And he has access to morphia, said Bobby. It fits in nicely.
Frankie picked up a telephone directory.
What are you going to do? Bobby asked.
I'm looking up the name Rivington. There's a few of them, but I think the Colonel Rivington, who lives in Onslow Square, or Mr. R. Rivington in Tite Street, are the most likely ones. The Rivingtons, Bobby, have got to be seen immediately.
But what are we going to say?
Frankie thought, then said,
Do you feel you could be a lawyer?
But lawyers never make personal visits, do they? Surely they write and ask someone to come and see them at their office.
This firm does things differently, said Frankie.
She left the room and returned with a card.
Mr. Frederick Spragg, she said, handing it to Bobby. You are a member of the firm of Spragg, Spragg, Jenkinson and Spragg, their father's lawyers. The only Spragg left there is about 100, and he adores me. I'll fix things with him if the Rivingtons discover you're not a solicitor.
What about clothes? I can't go in my chauffeur's uniform.
We'd better attack Father's wardrobe.
A quarter of an hour later, Bobby stood looking at himself in Lord Marchington's mirror.
With these expensive clothes on me, I feel much more confident. Now then, Frankie, do you think your father could lend me a hat?